Blog Talk Radio.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Available to us today. We are in our second day without power here in Bella Vista in our area, and the electric crews are busy trying to get things up and running. But last night, when things were getting to the point of loss, we, by the grace of God, a dear friend stepped up and bought a generator so that we could have everything working in our home. So overnight, we were able to save everything in our freezer and refrigerators, and we're able to get things plugged in. And this generator, I recommend every person to have a generator if you don't. And it has really done a magnificent job. We're hoping today our power will be back on. And so many people are saying the same thing, that this was quite a test run, And I firmly agree. And I think the Lord has really utilized this moment to awaken our senses to where we are, especially right now with the times that we are living in. And it really has been a great success story. So what I'd like to do right now is make sure that we're doing good. I want to bring Daniel Seckham back into the broadcast. He is still here in the Northwest region of Arkansas, actually had an opportunity to be with us last night to put everything together. Good morning, Daniel. Are you there, sir?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And are you doing well? We went through a crisis together.
we have. And who would have thought that we would be into our second day and no power? But, you know, it's all, I guess, an exciting thing for me. You know, all this is kind of a bit of a novelty to me. So I'm. It's certainly not boring, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so interesting. We have a hurricane that is forming, that's moving towards Puerto Rico, which, by the way, we have to give credit to whom credit is due. I remember a year or two ago that Augusto Perez, Patricia reminded me of this this morning, Augusto Perez, he prophesied that there was going to be a major disaster in Puerto Rico. They thought it may have been a comet or something to that effect, but man, when that hurricane last year hit Puerto Rico, today there are still over 30,000 homes with blue tarps that are covering people's homes. They still have not recovered from that massive hurricane last year, and now Hurricane Doreen is going in that direction, and then it looks like it could actually strengthen and become a Category 2 hurricane by the time it gets to Florida. And, of course, this is the hurricane season, but you know, what we're going through in a microcosm here in Northwest Arkansas, you can imagine the widespread damages that people have had to endure. And we have learned, really, we have learned so much. And Daniel, on the other hand, it looks like World War III is forming with Hezbollah, Iran, Israel. You know, is there anything there that you could speak into at this moment? Because that looks like a powder keg ready to blow as well.
Yeah, I think Iran would more likely trigger its proxy neighbor Hezbollah to start up something with Israel rather than start something itself. Obviously, if Iran does something itself, it will provoke the ire of the United States, and the United States will most likely get involved. But considering it's Hezbollah, and there is a bit of a, I guess, it's more seen as an Islamic kind of a Lebanese force rather than an Iranian force, even though that they are Iran's proxy, it means that the United States will probably not get involved in regard to that. But it's still kind of like Iran having a jab at Israel without having itself having to get involved. And that's why I believe that they are encouraging this conflict.
Okay, so let's connect the dots again. Okay, these are facts that I'm about to present right now. And they are paraphrased, but they are factual. We're just discovering that Target, the stores out here, the Target stores, were just again revealed because they've opened up their bathrooms to the transgender community, and that men have been going into the women's changing rooms. They've been poking holes and taking pictures. One guy was found with over 59 pictures of women nude. Some of them, their tops were off. Some of them, their whole bodies were exposed. Target kind of knew this, and they just plugged it up. So the guys were going back in. They were, you know, taking a little pen and poking holes again. So, and these are little girls in these women's bathrooms because the transgender community is there. And then I'm just looking at another article, again, trying to connect the dots of why we're seeing the trouble that we're seeing in our country, that a teacher kicks off the school year by telling kids about his transgender lifestyle. Imagine if you walked into your seventh grade classroom in the mid-80s or the mid-90s or even the mid-2000s and your teacher handed you a sheet of paper entitled "The Gender Unicorn," explained to you that he preferred to use the honorarium MX instead of Mr. MR, and encouraged the class to have a discussion about the many facets of his decision to live as a transgender person. So in other words, we're seeing this everywhere in preschools, junior high schools, elementary schools, high schools, universities, where the transgender community is coming out and they're basically expressing themselves to these impressionable minds. We're seeing this everywhere. And Daniel, you know, I start connecting the dots that big companies are supporting these agendas. God still condemns. Are you tracking with me that this is the reason why we're seeing the problems that we're seeing, and even more so what we're going to see?
Yeah, definitely. Well, what we're seeing like a large scale, it's like that, you know, the emperor's new clothes. And so, and really, essentially, leftism is a religion. And if you adhere to the religion, you go by the tenets of the religion, then you are accepted. But if you don't, if you turn a blind eye to it, then you will be stonewalled, you will be ostracized, you will be called all the different stigmatized names under the sun, including bigot, hater, intolerant, homophobe, Islamophobe. You know, you cop all of that. So it's the corporate companies are all towing the line. They don't want to be seen to be out of step. They all want to be seen to say, well, isn't the emperor's clothes wonderful? You know, the emperor's clothes is extraordinary. It's terrific. And yet, you know, in reality, the emperor is naked. The emperor doesn't have any clothes at all. But even simple people, like, you know, like children can see that the emperor has got no clothes on. It's all a big facade. But this is exactly the religion of the left. And this is why you find a very strange, you know, you would think that the big corporate executives and presidents of multinational corporations and all of the economic leaders within Wall Street would all be outright capitalists and would sing the praises of free market capitalism. where in reality they are leftists. The majority of them are leftists because they put forward the religion of leftism first before they do their economic preferences. So it's again, it just goes to show that this we're in a time of political correctness paralysis, where people are paralyzed by political correctness, that they are absolutely terrified of saying the wrong thing or appearing to being on the wrong side. And this is why they are doing everything that they possibly can to toe the line. It really, it's a horrifying and terrifying situation to know that a handful of people are calling the shots. Like these activists, these noisy activists, have got society in a headlock. And these, it really does remind me, Pastor Vincent, of the days of Lot. Because in the days of Lot, who were the ones that were calling the shots in that town, in that society? It was the homosexuals. The homosexuals were the one that were ones that were calling the shots. They were the ones that were saying what happened and what didn't happen. They were the ones who basically wanted surrounded the house of Lot. There was no policeman to stop them because they were the ones who were in charge. And so they were the ones who called out the on Lot to send out the angels so that they could commit horrific sexual acts on them. So this is the situation in which we find ourselves. And by the way, the ones who are calling the shots, they are in the minority. But as the saying goes, it's always the squeaky wheel that gets the oil. It's always the squeaky wheel that gets the oil. So they, because they have been so noisy and vocal and so proactive in coercing the rest of society into bowing down to their agenda, this is why we are in the situation that we find ourselves in. As the saying goes, it only takes a few barking dogs to control hundreds and hundreds of sheep, and or even 1,000 sheep. So this is why we are where we are.
All right. So in about 1 hour and 45 minutes, Daniel and I are going to be on KERM Radio, and we're going to dedicate that broadcast to talking about things like this and Donald Trump, the President Donald Trump. We have a program that is designed purposely at 11 o'clock this morning. But right now, Daniel, I think what I would like to really talk about and just kind of cut through a lot of our conversation, I believe that we are staring at an inevitability that the collapse that God has prophesied, that the prophets have spoken of, the things that have been said for a decade and over a decade now in this country are at the door. We have been watching it for year after year after year after year, one blow after another, a nation being beaten with many stripes, if you will. And yet the big strike, the great strike against the heart of the United States of America that will paralyze the entire body of this nation, and we are tasting a little bit of what it is to have no electricity and just what that means just by itself. And yet we know what we have been warned about is a time that is coming that in order to get a glass of water, you better be really prepared. To get money out of a bank, you better, you know, you better be already positioned outside of the system to be able to carry on with your life, and that nothing is going to stay normal. Everything is about to change. Everything. You know, we are experiencing this minor difficulty for this going on our second day out of nowhere. Nobody would have ever dreamed that two nights ago that there would have been a raging storm in northwest Arkansas in the Bella Vista area that has knocked out power. And while much of it is being restored, and we're confident that ours will be restored sometime today as well, but we were allowed by God to taste what this is going to be like. And one of the things I want to talk about, because many of us that are out there listening to this broadcast and understand that we are at a time when we need to know how to go through. Community living, for example. You know, one of the things I heard a Vietnam veteran say just recently, if you have been in Vietnam, you know that the lone wolf is not going to survive. You know, the guy that's going to go out there, or the couple that's going to go out there and try to make it happen on their own, well, the Vietnam vets are saying, you know, that doesn't work that way. So on the one hand, you don't want to be trying to get through these days alone. And on the other hand, when you have community, whether it's a family of five, you know, two parents and three kids, or it's a community of 10 or 15 people or 30 and 40 people, you have to realize that every person in that community, their crises becomes your crises. Their difficulty becomes your difficulty. And when we get into this idea of martial law, we get into this idea where there's no electricity, there's no water, and you have to have been prepared for this moment, that every person in that family or in that community or in that church, you know, you're going to, it's not about going to church three times a week with people. It's about being with people daily and then watching the conduct, seeing what goes on in different scenarios, how people respond and what the conflicts could be, the strife could be. I mean, look at Israel on a large scale going into the wilderness, what Moses had to go through and, you know, that nation had to go through. It was a very tricky thing. And from what I remember, Daniel, that whole nation, you know, only two people survived the 40-year, you know, wilderness journey. And we're promised, at least we're promised scripturally, a 3.5-year wilderness experience for those that don't get caught in the trap, but will be outside, you know, going through these days that lie ahead. But it's going to be a very interesting thing. And I want to launch from there and talk about, you know, the reality of the collapse. We believe the collapse is coming. I don't believe we have to convince anybody any longer. I certainly don't need to be convinced any longer. We're kind of tasting it. And thank God it's like 1/100th of a taste at this moment. And thank God that the lights out scenario didn't happen. And we're in it right now, because we found areas where, even though we've been preparing for years, we were not really positioned properly. So God is using everything. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, God certainly is doing that. And we're seeing it. In fact, Pastor Vincent, could you just repeat the last few lines of what you said? Or you just kind of broke up a little bit.
Okay. I believe that there's no need further to convince people like ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we were sort of touching on this yesterday, but it's not a matter of if, when the collapse is coming, but when. You know, there are historians who say that the average length that a civilization would last for is approximately 200 years. And so America is way beyond that 200 years, thanks to a very, very well-crafted constitution and a Bill of Rights. So that has basically sustained America to basically outlive as much as it has. However, the left are working overtime to destroy the constitution, to take away people's rights. They want to get rid of the Second Amendment. They want to have strict gun control, which we have seen happen in cities like Chicago, and we've all seen how well that works. But that what they want to do, they want to take the right to self-defense, and they want to take away the right of freedom of speech that we have in the right of the freedom to worship, as we find in the First Amendment. So they're going to erode and gradually take away Americans' freedoms and rights. And this is not going to happen. It's going to happen gradually, but also it'll also happen at one point. It'll all come to a head. As we have seen, there has been an erosion over many, many years in which the Constitution has been watered down, and we now have chief justices who reinterpret the Constitution. They just didn't, you know, they basically reinterpret it to mean something else. That's what we've seen with the reading of the separation of church and state. But we're going to see there's going to be like a gradual, like the whole frog in the pot analogy, there's going to be like a gradual moving away from of our freedoms, with freedoms being eroded. But there's going to come a time, Vincent, which you just mentioned, where it's going to come to a head, and everything is just going to, and things are going to collapse. And this is why it was really important, as we were discussing yesterday, that we need to be prepared spiritually. We need to be prepared that when America unceremoniously loses her global power and authority, that we need to be prepared for that spiritually, but we also need to be prepared for that practically. And I think it's interesting that we did have that scenario where we lost power yesterday, and now we're actually 34 hours with no power. I would actually see that as a bit of a dry run to prepare for the real thing. And in many ways, I think it's actually it's actually a good thing that it's actually taken place, because it's actually shone a light on all the areas where things could have fallen apart. So in that regard, it's a healthy thing that this has happened. But yeah, I mean, it's not a matter of if, but when. And when that takes place, my gosh, I mean, you really will begin to see the unfolding of the last days. And I don't say that lightly. I say that because if America goes down, we all go down. As Ronald Reagan said, if we lose our freedom here, there is no other place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth. And if the free world goes down, then all of the despots, all of the nefarious actors out there, all of the ones who are plotting and strategizing to assume power in the world, the ones that want to fill the vacuum where the United States once was, they will basically go after the tiny nation that they have longed to go after all along. All you have to do is just look at all of the different resolutions that are all targeting Israel at the United Nations. The United Nations, every time there is a resolution or there is something passed, it's either the communist bloc that targets Israel or it's the Islamic bloc that targets Israel. It's either one of those two. They work together to isolate Israel and the United States. And of course, if the United States is diminished and is unceremoniously removed, then of course all of the nations will gather against Israel. And this is when true Bible prophecy will unfold.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I appreciate the fact that we're looking beyond right now, where things are relatively stable. At least every once in a while, things get destabilized by storms, fires, hurricane, whatever it is, or violence that we see, or shootings that we see. But there is a destabilization of the entire environment that we see coming, and it's about time to prepare. And Daniel, you were with me yesterday when I received a blessing, the ministry did, and I want to share this and just kind of let people know what we're doing here. Received a letter from a family in New Hampshire. We didn't even have a clue that anybody in New Hampshire was listening to us. And it says, "Dear Pastors Vincent and Patricia, thank you so much for all the instruction. It's truly getting me closer to God. May our Lord bless you both to overflowing. I am very glad to hear you are renewing efforts on the ark. I really feel it is time also. I hope all the money comes in quickly and much is done or finished before October. I am grateful for both of you. Love in Christ, Kelly." And this is from Kelly and David, and they gave a gift of $500. And I thought, how wonderful is that? Because last week we were mentioning, before this outage happened, that we need to get the ark more prepared. And one of the things that we needed to raise money for was for an air conditioning and heating unit that we can use. And initially we were hearing $12,000 to $15,000, but one of our dear friends in the ministry talked with me the other day. We can get that done for about $6,000, which is a unit, and it has three different units attached to it. It's a split unit. It's very economical, after the initial cost. And so we need to raise $6,000 to get this air conditioning and heating unit, and I'll tell you why. One of the things we're considering is not only the Feast of Tabernacles that we're going to be celebrating, but we are also considering making that warehouse part, which is already decked out so beautifully, to become our home church. And I just feel the Lord is leading in that direction, so we're putting that out and we're testing those waters right now. And this dry run may be having us get back and literally move on the ark again, whereas for the last several years we've been renting a place because of our father-in-law, Mr. B. And so I think God is moving things around. So we definitely want to thank Kelly and David for their gift of $500. Daniel and I got that check yesterday when I went to the mailbox. I shared it. We were hallelujahing and thanking God that somebody really went out of their way to really sow into the work that we're doing, and it is a big work. And if you are wanting to help us continue to get this ark complete, I need to tell you, last night when we were in a power outage here, the people on the ark, the families up there, invited us and to have a brisket that they made. And we went up to the ark. They had a beautiful dining table prepared, and we all sat down, about eight of us or ten of us, and we enjoyed a brisket dinner that was smoked in the warehouse, and the environment was beautiful. The land was beautiful. It was not touched by anything, and I really believe that God's hand is upon that work, and I saw the quality of the people, and then one of the gentlemen said, we're going to get you a generator. And we got a generator, and it belongs to them, but they gave it to us to use to get through the night so that we could save what we had. And I saw the body of Christ in action, members of the church, and I want to thank everybody. I think there were two or three families that reached out to us, wanted to know how we were doing through the crises, and we blessed them. I want to thank our family in South Dakota that every month has been faithful to give an offering to the Omega Radio Ministry. We have a lot of considerations. Our focus is getting on the ark and to get it up to speed and prepared with solar panel to back up, you know, and generated power, which is helping us right now. But we need to be ready. And I know that if we go up to the ark, it may cost us a little bit as far as the Omega Radio Network, which has been up and running for 2 years. We may not be able to do that from the ark because they just don't have the fiber optics and the power that you need to run a 24/7 radio station. However, I know we could get the Blog Talk running from there. So different considerations. We appreciate your prayers, but God's hand is upon that work. And if you would be interested in supporting that $6,000 cause to get the air conditioning and heating, we already received a $500 kind of a first fruits blessing on that. We would certainly appreciate it. And God bless you guys. Daniel, you've been in this the whole time. You've been watching. What's your perspective?
I think it's really exciting. I think with what God is doing and how the Lord is leading is only going to turn out to be a greater blessing for what that God is doing here. I'm as I said before, like, I'm really excited to actually watch, to have an eyewitness view to see what God is doing in this area, and I think I'm really excited also about the Feast of Tabernacles conference coming up as well. So I think God is doing something very, very, very special in this place, and there's been prophetic words that have been spoken about what God is doing here, of the exciting work that he's doing, and it's all in preparation for these last days. So I think the whole New Wine Ministries and what is actually happening on the Ark is going to be, you know, at the moment that there's not a whole lot, great deal of people there. There's only I think when the last day scenario comes about, I think a lot of people are going to be looking to the Ark for hope. A lot of people are going to be looking to the Ark for hope, and I believe that God is going to use this project instrumentally. And it was interesting, as you and I, Pastor, we went also and had lunch with another pastor from Siloam Springs yesterday, and again, we were just reminded of what God is actually doing in this area of Northwest Arkansas. I mean, God is preparing people. He's preparing the hearts and preparing us practically in regard to what God is going, the changes of scenario that's going to take place in the future. And boy, oh boy, it is greatly, greatly needed. And the interesting thing is, Pastor Vincent, is, and what I've noticed in traveling around this country, is that God is setting up what I would call Goshens. Goshens as referring to places where God, you know, we know the land of Goshen, which was the land which God had put the children of Israel, and where God protected the children of Israel in the land of Goshen while the plagues were poured out upon Egypt. And in the same way, God is setting up these so-called Goshens all around the United States and all over the world. In fact, even in my own country, there's a couple even in my church who came across over 177 acres, 170 acres of land in which they have a vision to put like cabins on there, and they have a now vision for that land because they want to use it for burned out pastors who are really struggling in the ministry. But there's also that future vision that they also have because they know that God's people will be fleeing in the last days. In particular, Jews and Christians will be fleeing in the last days. And it's so funny because on this land that they have in Australia, there is a creek that runs through it, and it's called the Lord's Creek. The Lord's Creek. So God is deliberately and purposely setting up all these areas all over the world, and he's equipping them and preparing them because the devil is in a rage and he knows that his time is short. And so he is preparing God's people for when all this comes to a head.
Well, absolutely. He is preparing us. And I'm thinking about ministries that are out there that are, you know, spending hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars to get their platforms to preach the gospel, whether it's a church or an internet radio station or whatever. And yet there has to be a concentration on ark building. And I have been encouraging pastors for years now, take your congregation, go buy some land, prepare. And yet the majority believe they're going to be raptured out premature, you know, pre-tribulationally. So they think, what's the point of doing that? And yet when you go through these crises and people are still here going through it, you say, well, you see, this is what we're talking about. I mean, if there's not a pre-tribulational rapture, Pastor, you need to prepare your congregation and you need to get that land and grow your gardens and, you know, get your chickens and build your shelters and get your wells and, you know, put your money into something that's going to be useful. You know, this Omega Radio Network, Daniel, for example, 2 years ago, Kyle, Paul, and I built this radio station, and what did we get for 2 years? Well, we got Daniel Seckham, and Daniel Seckham, as a result of the Omega Radio Network, has come from Australia into the United States, who's preaching the gospel everywhere right now, and, you know, the whole thing could have been just to bring Daniel, and you've got some amazing things that God is doing in your life you probably don't want to release right now, but you know, God is opening doors to you like crazy. And maybe this whole thing, God said, okay, that was useful for me. And it was useful to preach the word. You got it out there. But I wanted to get Daniel activated because he was fasting for 40 days over in Australia. And while he was fasting, on the very last day of his fast, Paul Petit contacted him to see if he would be a part of a radio interview. And look what's happened in the last 2 years. And God may very well say, I don't need Omega Radio anymore. I've done, that's fulfilled its purpose. Now I want to get on with other things. And I want this ark supplied. I want this ark built. I want this ark undergirded. I want this ark ready to go. And, you know, to me, it all makes spiritual sense. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought? Who would have thought? I mean, God has been so full of grace. He really has been very kind in what he has done. But I think there's a greater purpose at stake as well. Like as I said before, God has opened the doors for me all over the place. One of the interesting places where I have been on this trip has been up at Long Island on New York. And on Long Island in New York, there is a body of believers who basically share the same vision. They know that there is going to be persecution that's coming. They're preparing likewise, and they are preparing their hearts for what's at stake. And in fact, there's a fairly similar radio station that's going on up there called Open Up the Doors, headed up by my friend Andy White, who's doing a great job up there. And so, so there's places like Long Island, New York. There's also places like Franklin in just south of Nashville in Tennessee. That's also another place. And there's also this... there's also the area out around Tyler, Texas, which I'll be heading off to today, just east of Dallas, just a few hours east of Dallas, where there is another area of land out there that God has proportioned, and where people have a similar vision in which God work and preparing themselves in regard to the last days. So, you know, but my friend Christopher Manti from Wings of the Eagle is also helping in coordinating all this. And he knows of other places in West Virginia and other places in all other different areas across the United States. There's also another place in South New Jersey. My friend Donnie Davis, and he was basically was able to purchase this property for absolute dirt cheap. In fact, he paid virtually next to nothing for it. But he basically was able to get 277 acres of land in South New Jersey. And again, as I mentioned about my friends in Australia, God has given Donnie a now vision for it and a future vision for the land. So the now vision for the land is actually to build tiny houses for homeless veterans. But the future vision for the land is actually to shelter God's people and for it to be a refuge in the last days. And it's so funny, Vincent, because Donnie's name for the land is, for the whole project that he's working on there, is called Operation Safe Haven. Operation Safe Haven. So again, like Amen. Donnie and like my friend Bob and Robin in Australia, you know, Bob's initial vision is to create cabins for pastors who are chewed up by the ministry, burnt out pastors, and so he's doing it to restore vision for them. And as with Donnie, he's building tiny houses for homeless veterans. But they both have a future vision for that land. And that future vision is to provide shelter and refuge for the people that will be in flight, for the people that will be fleeing. And God is strategically and purposely doing this in the last days, and it's something that people need to find more about. People need to even, God may even be tapping you to create such a thing and to go ahead with such a thing. So it's a wonderful times to be living in.
Well, amen to that. Now, I want to revisit something that you said earlier, because I think it went out there and it just kind of, you know, it started to evaporate, I think there's a lot of strength here. You said that the days ahead, that there will be two people groups fleeing persecution. You said Jews and Christians will be fleeing persecution. Speak into that just a little bit. What do you see there?
Yeah, well, that's really important for people to understand, okay, because there are two people groups that Satan absolutely detests, that he absolutely hates with a vehement hatred, and that is the natural seed of Abraham and the spiritual seed of Abraham. It all goes back to Abraham's seed and the dual nature of that seed. So there is the natural or the natural seed of Abraham, or the natural offspring, which is the Jewish people, those who are descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then there's the spiritual seed of Abraham, which we read about, which Paul wrote about, that we attain to all the spiritual blessings given to Abraham through Christ. And we know that that the Abraham's seed, from a natural perspective, is multiple, but the seed according to Paul's writings in the book of Galatians, the seed is singular in regard to Christ, which includes all of us. So there is both those two different aspects of seeds, and both of them will be persecuted in the last days, intensely in the last days. We saw a glimpse of that in regard to Revelation chapter 12, where the woman, the dragon pursued the woman. Now, the dragon does not just represent Israel. It actually represents the remnant of Israel. So that actually represents the remnant of Israel. These are the ones of the Messianic Jews, but not just the Messianic Jews, but there are others. Because we know that in Zechariah 13, it says that two-thirds in the land will be cut off and one-third will remain. So that one-third that remains is that woman. And that the dragon is in a rage because he cannot get to that woman. So what does he do? He goes off after the rest of the woman's seed, those who live according to the testimony of Jesus, and that's the Christians, you know, and that's us. And so, you know, it's funny, Pastor Vincent, because in the First World War, there was an overt genocide. There was a genocide of Christians with what we saw with what the Ottoman Empire did with the Assyrian genocide. And then in World War II, we saw a massive genocide of Jews with what happened under Hitler and wiping out 6 million Jews. By the way, there were 9 million Jews living in Europe at that particular time, and Hitler managed to wipe out, you guessed it, two-thirds, which is remarkable. But here's the thing. There are elements within World War II that perfectly align with the trajectory of the last days. Let me explain it this way. There were elements within World War II that were foreshadowings of the last days, and there were elements within World War I that were foreshadowings of the last days. If you were to get a clear picture of what to actually take place in the last days, then you would take the elements from World War I and the elements of World War II, and you will overlap them. And when you overlap them, you see a clear picture. You see both Jews and Christians persecuted and being going after. Remember in Revelation, it says to him who will be killed by the sword he will be killed, and to him who will go into captivity he will go. So there is going to be this kind of scenario in which we will see that. You know, I'm just speculating, and this is pure conjecture when I say this, but I would not be surprised if it will be the perpetrators will be switched, because we know that it was the Ottomans that killed all those millions of Christians in the Assyrian genocide, and we know that it was Hitler who was pretty much a radical. And some might be shocked for me to say this, but he was a radical leftist. You know, one of the greatest deceptions that has actually taken place over the past 70 years has been that the academic institution has painted Hitler and Mussolini, or the Nazism and fascism, as right-wing ideologies, and they're not. They're actually left-wing ideologies, but they're different streams of Marxism. So Hitler was a radical leftist, and he was the one who persecuted the Jews, and the Ottoman Empire and World War I were Muslims, and they were the ones who persecuting Christians. I kind of see a bit of a reversal in the last days. I think it'll be the Muslims that will be the ones primarily that will be going after the Jews. And I believe that it will be the leftists will be the ones, the radical ideologues, that will be going after the Christians in these last days. So that's just my thoughts. That's just a little spin that I have on things. But, yeah, very interesting times to be living in.
Well, no doubt about it. And that's a great take. And I know that, you know, beyond this moment of persecution, the glory will come. And that's why we encourage all saints of God everywhere to get their oil, as you were saying yesterday, as the wise virgins, to be able to endure the long midnight that is coming upon the nations of the earth. And so our preparations are necessary throughout the history of God and his people. He's always employed his people to assist in building something, whether it's a tabernacle in the wilderness with Moses, whether it's the temple of God with Solomon, whether it's the ark with Noah, whatever it is, God has always employed his people for a common cause. And I cannot imagine in my heart that there would be anything more important at this time, fulfilling Bible prophecy, because God has prepared a place in the wilderness for God's people to be employed at this time to get things done and accomplished. And again, I want to just say thank you to those of you that would bring our little work that we have been doing on the Ark. We have a project for $6,000. We also have a Feast of Tabernacles in about 50 days. That's 50. And we have some financial needs for that as well. We have a tent that we get every single year that we could really use your financial support to get that. And, you know, we normally take care of stuff, but if anybody's out there that would like to supply a generous donation for the things we need to get done, we would certainly appreciate it. And we believe it's in alignment with what God is doing. So, yes, the persecution is coming. God is forewarning. We have light, and while we have light, we need to be working, because the darkness comes that no man will be able to work. And I'm thanking God that today, after our two-day crises here in Northwest Arkansas, Patricia has been taking notes on everything that we were lacking or things that weren't really prepared. And so we're going to be getting some things done as well. And Daniel, we've got about 10 minutes left. If anybody's out there that would like to ask Daniel Seckham a question, you have any questions or comments, we're going to open the telephone lines right now. The number to call is 818-369-0326, and we're going to take a call already coming in from area code 605. You're on the air. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. Yes, I wanted to ask Daniel, you know, that scripture in the Bible where it says, those that do not believe that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, if they don't believe that, they have an antichrist. Well, so whether you be Jew or Gentile or whatever type or race of people you are, if you don't have that, you're not going to make it. Is that correct?
So you're referring to the scripture in 1 John, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we need to say that it does talk about the spirit of an antichrist, that the spirit of antichrist is at work in the world at the moment. And we have seen types and shadows throughout history where we have seen different types of antichrists, even as far back as Nimrod, the founder of Babel. In fact, it's interesting because Nimrod's name in Hebrew means we will rebel. So from Nimrod to, and then we have Antiochus Epiphanes in the intertestamental period, who was very much a type of antichrist. It was Nimrod who was the one who sacrificed a pig on the altar, in which the Jews actually believe that Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled when they said that the abomination that causes desolation. So we have seen these different antichrists throughout history. And yes, we do see that scripture where it says that if anyone does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, that that he is of the antichrist. That is, we need to keep in mind that there is an antichrist system, that there is an antichrist spirit in the world at the moment, and that is very much associated with that. Anyone who rejects Christ and rejects that he did come into the flesh is of the movement, is of that spirit, is of the spirit of the Antichrist in that regard. But there is coming a final person. It is all coming as the Antichrist will appear one day as a person, and he will be the final fulfillment of that. And so we can see it happening with different epochs throughout history, and we can see Hitler was also a type of antichrist, but we're going to see it happen eventually. And what we're seeing happening is that, and this is what the left want to do, the left want to concentrate absolute power into the hands of fewer and fewer people. And the time will come when the left will succeed in concentrating all the power into the hands of one man.
Oh, I think we lost Daniel. I don't know if I hope we're okay here. Daniel, we lose
you? I'm here. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Hello? This is South Dakota. Can you hear me?
Hello?
No. Hello, Vincent, this is South Dakota. People, can you hear me?
Hello?
We got knocked off. Well, if Daniel is there, I was wondering, you know, to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. How do you answer that or whatever? Nobody's on there. They're all knocked off. Everybody got knocked off. Hello? Yeah, I'm off.
Hello? 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 Hello?